We've been talking about this area for over 70 years. Join the conversation on Coffee Talk.
Hey, good morning.
Awesome. How are you doing, Mr. Ed?
Good morning, Carlo Kim.
Join the conversation on Coffee Talk on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Oh, am I excited today. We've got a young lady that started out here with us. Miss Rebecca, are you there?
Good morning.
Well, introduce yourself, young lady.
Yeah, it's Rebecca Wingfield. When I last lived in Caldwell County, I was Rebecca Johnson, or Becca J, as I was known when I was a kid. It's good to be talking to you guys, and happy to be here this morning.
There's a young man that's in here right now, so go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Peyton Lanham. I was here earlier for the National Beta Club, and I do beta for school.
Where'd you want to work when you grow up?
I want to work at NASA when I grow up.
All right.
And that's awesome. Hi, Peyton. Good morning.
Good morning.
I am so thankful that you were willing to do that. Let everybody know, like, what you do.
Sure. I work here in Houston, Texas at the Johnson Space Center in Mission Control for human spaceflight. So Johnson Space Center is the hub of human spaceflight. Every human spaceflight mission that is launched is operated out of the Johnson Space Center. So right now, our primary mission, the one that's flying 24/7, is the International Space Station. We've got 7 crew members on the International Space Station right now. And have had crew members on the International Space Station since 2000. So if you know anybody that's 25 years old, their entire life we've had an American on the International Space Station. We've had humans in space for 25 years. This year in November, actually, it's our 25th anniversary. So I work in the Mission Control Center. I started there at a console that we call OSO. We like a lot of acronyms here at NASA, Operations Support Officer. So I did a lot of maintenance with the astronauts on things on the space station when they broke. But right now I work as a flight director. So that is the managing officer in charge of mission control, that in charge all of the risk taking that we have our crew members doing every day. We're in charge of making sure that our mission progresses every day, that we're doing the right things, and overseeing all of the operations on the space station.
Did I hear right or read right that you directed a spacewalk the other day?
I did. Yeah, that was a really great day. It was EVA, extravehicular activity, that's what we call a spacewalk, number 92 for the International Space Station. So we've been doing them for a while, right? We did a bunch of spacewalks to assemble the space station, and this one was mostly for maintenance outside. So Butch and Sunny got their suits on. They got their, we kind of think of them as their own personal little spaceships that they're inside when they go out of the space station. So they went out there and did some maintenance work for us. And that was a really fun day. It was kind of 9 very intense hours where your primary objective is just to get them back inside and get them safe back home.
For us at home, it's kind of like the astronauts are like in a UTV tooling around the moon and you know, fixing fence or whatever they got to do up there. And you're helping direct them.
That's right. So here on the ground, we really manage their mission, right? And so every day we put a plan up for them that they could be doing some really intense science experiments, you know, DNA sequencing, or they do a lot of human science, right? They draw their own blood and they spit in a cup and all of that kind of stuff so that we can learn what radiation and being in low Earth orbit is like for humans. And they, but they also have to maintain their craft. So just like at home, sometimes you have to work on the toilet, sometimes you have to work on the sink, and sometimes you have to build a fence. So all of those things are things that we manage here on the ground, and we uplink the plan to them and walk them through their day as they are our risk takers and our hands and our eyes for all of the things that we do in space.
Oh, wow. So do you have any questions for her this morning? We were talking about it, and I was like, you know, if I was you, like, what grade are you in?
I'm in 6th grade.
In 6th grade. So if I was you, I thought, man, my mind would be blown if I got to ask somebody at NASA, what in the world, you know, what would I ask them? So what are your questions for her?
Okay, I have one very important question I've been wondering for a long time. What was your average grade in school?
Oh, man. Which part of school? Because it definitely varies. in your area, middle school, I think A's, probably A's and B's probably in high school, A's. But in college, you know, sometimes not all the A's in college, you know, but you get it done and it's a lot of work and it's the reward is deep. So keep studying.
So did you do pretty good in science in middle school?
Yeah, I mean, when I was Peyton's age, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, right? I sort of joke with everybody that I never grew out of the I want to be an astronaut phase of life, and sometimes I think that's still true. I think that'd be a pretty cool ride, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I knew that I was pretty good at math and science, and people told me I should be an engineer. So when I went off to UK, I started as a civil engineer, not really knowing the difference between different types of engineering because I'd just never been really exposed to it. And then in college is really when I changed my major over to mechanical because I learned that NASA was taking cooperative education students, but they were only taking mechanical engineers. So I said, I don't really know the difference, so I'll go change my major just so I can go work for NASA for a while I'm in college.
Well, I was a little stinker, and I've got a little surprise for you this morning, and I thought it would be kind of cool. There's a reason why he and I are asking you about maybe some of your grades. I think I know one of your teachers.
Oh, man. You probably know several.
Well, why don't you introduce yourself, young lady?
Good morning, Becca. This is Miss Jewel. How are you?
Hi, Miss Jewel. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. I'm just delighted to be here and talking to you.
Oh, well, thank you. Maybe should be a little nervous about the stories you could tell about middle school.
Just to let everybody know, Rhonda, tell everybody how, of course, this is Rhonda Jewel, and you're our 4-H agent.
I am. I was actually Becca's 8th grade science teacher before I became a 4-H agent 20-something years ago. I was a science teacher, and I just happened to have Becca. It was actually my favorite class. So,
oh, listen to that.
Well, she had high hopes for you, man.
I mean, the class of 2002 is pretty special.
Yes,
so.
They are.
Well, I mean, that's a thing, too. I mean, as a teacher, and you look at where she ended up, I mean, that's got to be something.
Exactly. It's amazing. And, you know, it's always one of the things that I loved about teaching and I love about my job now is seeing the kids and how they grow up. You know, what, you know, the kind of, you know, what they do in middle school has no reflection of what they're going to do in high school most of the time. And it just kind of, you know, seeing the kids grow up and seeing what they turn into, it's a... That was the funnest, I guess, the most enjoyable thing.
I would say that I'm a product of my race. So thank you very much for all that you poured into it.
Oh, well, I appreciate that very much. But like I said, y'all are a fun group.
So you got any other questions for?
Exactly how much do you know about space life and controlling the space station and all of that stuff?
Like, do you see them all the time, right?
Yeah, do
like,
you...
Like they're brushing their teeth and Rebecca knows all about it, right?
Oh, yeah. Great question. So I would say that especially for the International Space Station, I know quite a bit. I've been doing it for, I don't know, since 2007. So whatever, 18 years now, going on 18 years. And in that time frame, I've gotten to learn a lot about the space station and I've gotten to know our astronauts pretty well because they also live here and work at the Johnson Space Center. So it's a really cool thing to see your friends launch on a rocket. You get those butterflies in your belly until you get to that main engine cutoff when they're up in space and they're floating around. And then you get to see their highs, right? You get to hear their giggles and see their personalities come out. And you hear the stories about brushing teeth and, you know, the community meals that they have and what they have, because they get like little care packages that they can fly. So a lot of times they'll fly special things for like Thanksgiving dinner or Easter dinner if they know that they're going to be up there, and they take care of each other in that way, right? We have an international community that's on board space station, so they celebrate each other's holidays and they pack little gifts for each other. And so learning that really human part of the International Space Station is a really cool thing. But also I think by now I probably have an advanced degree just in how the space station works because we've worked so many years trying to build it and make it fly. And in fact, I was just there Friday night and Saturday night. I had a shift, so I got to be the overwatch of the crew as they got to rest for their weekend.
That's crazy.
What's the space station like on the inside? Are they just sitting around the table, or are they having to eat while they float around all the time like we see them?
Oh, that's a great question. So the space station itself is sort of like if you took 3 school buses, took all the seats out and stuff, and kind of stacked them end to end. That's basically the size of their habitable volume. So like where they live, right? And it's what we call a shirt sleeve environment. So it's about 72 degrees and pretty low humidity. It's a pretty nice atmosphere that they live in. And they go around the Earth every 90 minutes. So when they look out the window, they actually see the sun rise and set 15 times a day because they're going around the Earth so fast. They're going 17,500 miles an hour. But they're only about 250 miles above the Earth's surface. So they're really not that far away. And when they pass overhead, you can see the space station. It's the brightest star in the sky, and it's moving along pretty fast. There's a website actually called Spot the Station where you can go put your zip code in and it'll tell you when the space station is going to pass overhead. And so they're basically in free fall all the time, right? They're floating. The space station, because of Earth's gravity, wants to come back to Earth, but we have to reboost it back out sometimes. And so they're basically in constant free fall. And they float, yeah. They have fun with their food. They throw M&Ms at each other and catch them in each other's mouths. And they, squirt bubbles of water out of their drink bags and slurp it up with a straw. And it's a good time. There's some good videos out there during the Olympics. They had some Space Station Olympics where they did different sports and spaces.
You watched that, huh?
Yes, I did watch that.
So what was your favorite event that they did? Do you remember?
They threw Frisbees. And I've always thought, oh, no, what happens when they hit the sides of all the computers and stuff? Will it just go smashing down? I've heard some people think that when you, like, hit it, oxygen just stops working or something. What is all of that?
Yeah, great question. They're sort of inside of a tin can, right? And so, but their walls are pretty well protected. They have these different systems, like your air supply system or your computer systems that are kind of lining the walls in these protected, we call them racks. They have a sort of a hard panel in front of them, so they can't actually really get to the wall very easily. They do have a bunch of laptops, though, out. As you can imagine, they're floating around doing different things and different science experiments, and each thing sort of has its own little laptop that goes with it or tablet. They have a lot of tablets, too. And so sometimes when they go flying through the lab or, down in the European or Japanese segment, they'll go screaming through there, and they'll hit something with their foot and they may notice it. They might not, they, sometimes have to just quickly turn around and Velcro something back to the wall. Sometimes they'll say, if you're kind of right side up and you take your glasses off or you have a pen in your hand and you just let it go, if you move yourself a certain way, you can actually lose it and you don't know, you have to kind of flip yourself back around and try to find it.
Becca, I can't make it to the kitchen without bumping elbows and knees and stumping toes. I can't even imagine.
The good thing about space, though, is that everything always ends up on the airflow return. So if you let it leave a couple of days, you'll go find it on the airflow exchange.
So can we send them stuff while they're up there?
We do. We have resupply ships that go up, right? We have very regular resupply ships that go up with food and some water, although we recycle a lot of our water, most of our water on space station, but we have to send up food and clothes and new experiments for them to do and stuff like that. Yeah. Several times a year we have resupply ships that go up.
I'm going to ask the bad question. Can you take a shower in space?
Oh, man, it's tough. The answer is yes, but it's not like a shower. They fill up a drink bag, so it's sort of like a giant Capri Sun bag with a straw on it. And you use that to squirt a little water at a time. They've got a washcloth, and they've got soap, and they've got shampoo, but you kind of have to, and you're in a space, I don't know, about the size of a phone booth, maybe a little bit bigger, trying to clean yourself up there.
That's some close quarters, you know? You hope the other guy's taking a shower every once in a while.
That's right. That's right.
So what part of it is the most fun for you?
Oh, yeah, man, great question. There's a lot of reasons, but I said this the other day, I was kind of joking, but flying the spaceships is a lot more fun than talking about flying the spaceships. I feel like some of my job is in meetings and, not in the control center, and we talk a lot about flying spaceships and what we're going to do when we go back to the moon and on to Mars, and all of that stuff is very cool, but actually sitting in the control center and flying the International Space Station is the most fun. And for me, the reward is, I mean, the good Lord put us on this earth for a lot of reasons, and I very wholeheartedly think that one of them is to explore his creation. And that's what we get to do every day. And so, and building the relationships, both, my immediate teammates, our international partners, understanding that relationships really are what powers the engine that keeps us exploring is just a very rewarding and fun experience.
Rhonda, did you think that you'd ever have, you know, somebody sitting in NASA controlling the space station?
No, really not. It's just kind of, like I said, it's kind of mind-boggling. And a couple of years ago, Becca, you came back for, there was a Women in Science Day held at Paducah. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, I came and Miss Jones came and we were just
ma'am.
So proud of you. And it was just, wow. It's kind of like, you know.
It's a full circle.
It is. It is. And it's a beautiful circle.
One other story, too. I was walking into the control center a couple of years ago and a young lady was walking out and she had a Kentucky sweatshirt on. And there are several Kentucky folks that I work with. You know, we always give each other a go Cats, especially us that went to UK, a go Cats. And so I gave her a go Cats and a high five. I didn't know her, but we started kind of chatting. And she asked, where are you from? And I said, oh, way western Kentucky, real small town. She goes, oh, me too. And I was like, oh, okay, well, it's close to Paducah. And she goes, oh, me too. And I said, oh, well, it's Call County, Princeton. She goes, no, it's not, because that's where I'm from. And I was like, you know, we're both floored.
Wow.
And her name's Abigail Coleman. She works there in the Mission Control Center, too. And we just had this little moment in the parking lot, like, whoa, this is bananas. You know, her sister was in my class, and it was fun. And actually, she was working in the control center that day for the spacewalk a couple of weeks ago, too. So that was a fun moment that we got to share.
Rhonda Jules over there just popping out NASA people all the time.
I had Abigail, too.
What were you doing in that eighth grade class, Rhonda?
I don't know.
I think that's awesome. And I'll tell you, I'll give you guys a little sneak peek. Becca brought up an idea of maybe getting a few of them together that are local and maybe visiting together on another segment. And I said, oh, yeah, that is definitely something I would love. Wasn't there like everybody wear your blue shirt?
On that day, yes. So the day that we did the spacewalk, it was spacewalk number 92, and I am flight director number 92. We sort of joke with our astronauts, you know, that I'm flight director 92. There's been, you know, roughly 500 astronauts in space. So if you want to join an exclusive club, it should be the flight directors. But it's kind of a joke, you know. But my flight director name is Cerulean, and that's the color blue, right? I chose it because it's a small town in western Kentucky, and it's the color of the horizon line that we have to protect and break in order to explore space flight. And it's the root word of cerulean is from the Latin word for heaven, which is where I strive to be pull leadership from as a wise leader. And so because it was spacewalk number 92 and I'm flight director number 92, I asked the team to wear blue and it happens to be basketball season. So everybody in the control center wore blue it was a great day. It was a lot of fun.
I mean, in our world, we're just going to tell everybody that you did it because of the Cats and Caldwell Tigers. Right? That's what we're going to tell.
That was the underlying motivation, right?
And I love that your call sign is Cerulean.
Yeah, it's a cool tradition. It started way back with Chris Kraft. You know, he was the very first flight director. His name's on the outside of the Mission Control Center building now. And he was Red Flight. That first set of flight directors were red, white, blue, and black. And during Apollo, you got assigned to one of those teams, right? You were on the red team or the white team. Gene Kranz, who is Apollo 13 fame and was the acting flight director when we landed on the moon. He was white flight. That's why you always see him in the white vest. And so that's where the tradition really started. And then, you know, as new flight directors came along, you pick different people pick different colors or gemstones or celestial bodies. And it also happens to be when you're selected as a flight director, that's sort of the first question that you get asked, what's your flight director name going to be? And it's kind of like naming a baby. You know, you got to think really hard, but it's going to last forever. So,
well, I mean, so the astronauts, that's what they
what's
call
that?
You. They don't call you Becca. They call you Cerulean.
I did both. Yeah. When I'm on console, it is the Cerulean team. And we tend to call each other by our call signs a lot just as a fun thing that we do. But, you know, I get Rebecca a lot, too.
Do you really do spend a lot of time with them before they end up at the space station?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's good. We form a lot of relationships that way.
You ever look at one of them and go, yeah, that guy's not going to make it?
No way. These astronauts are the smartest people you ever meet. But I spend a lot of time talking to our younger flight controllers about how they are just regular people, right?
Right.
And then you've got somebody like, you know, Johnny Kim, who's going to launch next year, who's a you know, emergency physician and a Navy SEAL, and you know, it's just like, what did I do with my life, man? Come on.
Right? They just humbled you in a lot of ways, don't they? Do you think we're ever going to get to Mars?
Let's do it, man. I'm ready. Let's go. I think having a base on the moon is a good intermediate place to go, and I'm excited for the Artemis missions to get us there. And I think that humans have the knowledge and the willpower to do a lot of things, especially when we do it together. And I think that the good Lord has graced us with a lot of know-how and ingenuity, and I think we could do it. I'm ready.
Well, I know we got a satellite out there in deep, deep space now, right?
Oh, yeah. We got a lot. I mean, there's lots of stuff. We got rovers on Mars, you know. We got lots of satellites that have been sent out beyond our solar system. We have a lot in low Earth orbit. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff in low Earth orbit right around the altitude of the space station. So it's a happening place to be. Space is a big business.
Right about now in Western Kentucky, everybody's got the flu or the cold or sinuses or something.
Right. Well, we put them in quarantine for a couple weeks before they go, and their flight docs give them a look over before we launch them to make sure nobody don't get sick. But, you know, there's Tylenol up there, and there's, you know, whatever you need, sinus medication. A lot of times, actually, our astronauts will have a fluid shift, right, because you have gravity to pull fluid down out of your head, so you get fluid shift into your head, your face gets all puffy, and if you look at photos of astronauts from when they launch to when they return, that's 6 months difference. Their faces look a little more full. Some of us older folks may appreciate that because it puffs out the wrinkles.
Right? I can't even imagine packing for a trip like that. How long do they stay up there?
About 6 months, yeah. Yeah, about 6 months. They a lot of times they talk, too, about how your clothes don't get as dirty because they don't actually touch your body very much.
Oh, yeah?
Your clothes are kind of floating around you all day instead of actually getting all of your dirt and grime off your
The gravity
skin.
Pulls down
yeah.
your shirts.
I would have never thought of that. Your mm-hmm. mom wouldn't have to wash your hoodie for like a month.
That's why they wear those jumpsuits.
So you got any other questions so we can let her off here in a minute?
I have two questions for her.
Okay.
All right. First question. So I know like in space you can't drink coffee like a normal water because it goes on your face and then you like club it into your mouth. Have you ever drank out of one of the cups, the coffee cups for space?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you're talking about Don Pettit's coffee cup. So Don Pettit is probably one of the smartest people I've ever met in my whole life. He's in space right now, actually. But the last time that he was in space, he realized that one of the things he missed the most was drinking coffee out of a coffee cup, especially on Sunday morning, because they have drink bags, right? We have dehydrated food or beverage drink bags, and they add hot water to them, and you mix them around. That's what I was talking about, was a kind of a giant Capri Sun bag, and you drink it with a straw. But people that love to drink coffee, right, know that you can't get the satisfaction of drinking hot coffee through a straw. It's just not as satisfying. And so he invented this capillary action cup that is now in, I think it's the Museum of Modern Art in Washington, but it's one of his biggest inventions is the space coffee cup. I have seen it. I've held it, but I have not drank coffee out of it.
What a great question.
Wow. I kind of lied. I have two more questions, but they're quick. Come on. Have you ever had freeze-dried food, and what is your favorite?
Oh, yeah, man. The food actually is not too bad. It's actually, I shouldn't even say that. The food is actually very good. So we have a food lab here at the Johnson Space Center that is in charge of creating menus and manifesting all of the food that the astronauts eat. And so most of it is freeze-dried, you're right, and we add water to it, and they have sort of a little oven also that you can put your food packages in to help heat them up. My favorite one that I've tried is chicken curry. I think it's delicious. They can also do some, like, pre-shopping off the shelf, you know, if they have a favorite granola bar that they like to eat or something like that, they'll ask the food lab if they can take that with them. There's some amount of testing, I think, that has to be done to make sure it doesn't spoil and stuff like that. But the food is really pretty good. And one of the cool things is if you launch with an international crew, you also get some portion of their food. So like if you had a Japanese crewmate and a European crewmate, like maybe I would want to launch with Thomas Pesquet because he's from France and I'm sure his food is delicious. And also our Japanese crew members, right? You would get some of their food too. And so sharing that is it's really a human element, right? We love to join each other and share food and stories, and that's how you build community. And so that is also true on the space station.
When we were talking about Mars, I just thought of this. The water in Mars, they heard rippling, apparently, and they've been studying, and they think they found water on Mars. Is that true?
Oh, man, I'd have to Google that one. I don't know. Wow. But if it is true, that'd be awesome. We know that we need water to sustain our human life. So
I got a feeling he's going to end up working in NASA.
Right?
So, Rhonda, yeah. You got anything for her before we jump off here?
Just one last thing. Do you have any suggestions for this young man? He's in the sixth grade now, so he's got six more years ahead of him. What are some things that he should be focusing on now to help get him to reach his goals?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one thing that has benefited me and that I would pass on to others is take all of the opportunities to expand your mind that the good Lord affords to you. So if there are opportunities that are available, don't be afraid to go after something, to try something different. Even if you think it's in a field that, you know, might not lead you to NASA, it might be something that you fall in love with, or learning new things is always a good thing. Learning new cultures, learning new math and science things, all of that stuff, expanding your mind to incorporate new thought processes and diversity of thought and thinking will only benefit you in a positive way. I hear the astronauts very often say, pursue a career that you love and then pursue being an astronaut as a side, because it's such a hard thing to achieve that you might as well fall in love with a job that you're passionate about and then work on trying to be an astronaut. If astronaut is the thing that you want to do. NASA loves math and science kids, so engineering and physics and chemistry and all of those things are good things to pursue. But in general, my advice is take all the opportunities that you have in front of you and embrace them and learn new things.
And we got to say thanks and hi to Miss Chelsea Ardrey. She's the one that I contacted the other night, and she did the side of getting him in, and I appreciate the heck out of her. She's a great teacher, isn't she?
Yes, she's great. Mid-test came over. Hey, Peyton, they invited you back to the radio station. You want to go talk to a NASA person? I said, of course, Miss Ardrey.
Well, I got one last question for you, Becca. Have the astronauts seen any aliens flying around up there?
It's classified. I can't really say.
I told David, I was like, I have to ask.
On our spacewalk a couple of weeks ago, they took some, as part of an experiment, they took some swabs out and swabbed the outside of the space station, and we did a lot of joking about what could be found from these swabs on the outside.
Now I want to know how that comes out. That's going to be the next time I talk to her. So what would you say to your people here?
Oh, man. It's such a privilege to be able to talk to you all today. I really appreciate you reaching out and asking me to talk on this show. I immediately told my mom, so she's probably listening to you. but being from Western Kentucky is something that I find a lot of pride in, and it is still home no matter how long I've been gone. So I appreciate the time to be with you guys.
Well, I'm going to tell you, we're going to get the ladies together soon. I'm going to hold you to that one. That was an idea you had that I absolutely love. So we're not going to say forever, but we'll just say till we talk to you again. How about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And Peyton, if you come to Houston, let me know. We'll go out to the Space Center.
Oh, I may take him to Houston just so that I can do it too. Get me and Ron to get in if we bring him down there. What do you think?
Absolutely.
It's been good talking to you, Becca, and I just wish you well. And again, so proud of you.
Thank you, ma'am.
What about you,
Peyton? I appreciate it.
Thank you for talking to us. It really helped me with a lot I've been wondering about, so thank you very much.